Welcome to Winning the Moment, the podcast that explores the art of living the life you want and becoming the person you want to be. Your host, Cody Adent, is a published author and the mind behind the book, Winning the Moment. This isn't just a podcast. It's a guide and a roadmap to inspire and empower you to conquer life's challenges, embrace your wins, learn from your losses, and make the most of every single moment in your life.
Wherever you are and however you are listening, thank you so much for being back with us on another episode of Winning the Moment. This is episode 50. We have almost made it to the year mark. And today I have a special guest, Kaylee Graziano. And this episode is going to not be what you think it is. So stay along, get ready for a wild ride. It goes on this incredible story that has such powerful meaning and importance. And I think there's just some great messages that will benefit you in your everyday life. So please like and subscribe. And most importantly, enjoy the... Thank you for being back with us on another episode of Winning the Moment. Today I have Kaylee Graziano with me, and she is a super connector. I actually asked her before the podcast, like, how do you want me to introduce you? Because you do so many things and you do them all so well. So I'm just super excited. She's a little bit nervous. So we're going to let her slowly get comfortable in this podcast with us today. But Kaylee, thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's so weird. My imposter syndrome is like full blown going through the roof right now.
But it's fine. I get that. I think because even when I was, as we were talking before we recorded about like, oh, I'm interested in this, I'm interested in that. And you're like, well, I'm not an expert. It's like, who's an expert in anything? Yeah. You know what I mean? We know what we know. Yeah. And there's things that we know more about than others and people who know more than us, but we're here just to share the knowledge that we have, right? But that imposter syndrome is real. I mean,
so real.
I mean, I feel it all the time. Even when people ask me what I do, I feel imposter syndrome. You know, regardless of, and I could say so many different things that I do. And sometimes I'm like, what am I going to say if they ask me? Like, I'm going to a certain event. Do I say I'm an author? Do I say I work at a hospitality company? Or do I say I own the hospitality company? Do I say I'm a CFO of a tech company?
Do you do that, Cody? Like, when you're walking into a room, do you prepare, like, how am I going to show up? Who am I today?
Yes, because I think depending on the audience, it'll change my change how I'll do it, you know? So like, even if I love cars, right? So I've been fortunate enough to have some fun cars. And so sometimes when you get like coffee, they'll be like, hey, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And that's the one where I'm always really like, what should I say?
Yeah. What's my elevator pitch?
Yeah. Like I work hard, it's, you know, one-liner. Because it's like, they're thinking I'm going to say something like super cool. And it's like, oh, this super cool thing got you this other super cool thing. But it's like, really, I've just been working for 20 years.
Yeah. Living life,
human, just nonstop, you know, and so I do definitely find myself like, certainly if I'm at a hospitality event, I'll lean into that part of my background. And like, I'm going to, for the listeners, there's this awesome conference that Spencer and I went to called Grow With Video. And so it's all about this, really, like how to build a digital presence through video. And so when I'm at that, I'll probably introduce myself as like an author and a podcaster, right? I'll lean onto that piece. But I certainly, depending on the environment, change what I say. And if it's like just a social thing with like parents of my kids' friends, then it's like, oh, I work in hospitality.
Mm-hmm. Keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So what about, so then to you, what do you do?
How
are you going to answer it?
Let's see, how do I answer this? So I own a salon. So I own a salon in St. George. We are an organic hair salon and we opened up just about a year ago. And it's been going really good.
I didn't know
you're
an organic salon.
Yeah, that's why I went to Italy.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So the brand that we have in the salon, it's all organic and it's from Italy.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense if you're putting it in your hair. Like, people are so cautious of the food they eat. But if you're putting like a dye in your hair or something.
Yeah, all of it. The products were plastic free. So everything's in glass bottles.
Wow.
And so that's one thing I do. So I've been doing hair for 20 years. Took a break and just sold houses for about 6. And so I went from doing hair on the road all the time, educating, traveling around the country, behind the chair in a couple different salons. And so then,
if you were traveling the country, were you part of like a big organization then at that time?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was working for a L'Oreal owned company.
Okay.
I was a corporate educator for them.
Wow.
So I would do that full time. And then I had a couple salons, one in far northern California, Redding, which is where I grew up.
Because you lived in California at this time.
Yep. So I grew up in Redding and then I had a clientele that I would maintain there. And then I built a clientele in the Bay Area. So I would go down to the Bay Area, while I was living in the Bay Area. So I would go back and forth.
Did you charge more when you cut hair in the Bay Area?
Am I okay with this podcast thing?
Yeah, you're doing great. Did you charge more in the Bay Area?
A little bit more.
Yeah,
not significantly.
Okay.
Anyways, so then I stopped doing hair. I got burnt out of that and I started doing real estate. And the first house I sold was this $2 million home in Alamo, California. So it was more money than I'd ever made at once. So I said, well, I'm not going to do hair anymore.
Yeah, right. So what did you get for that? Did you get 3% of that $2 million? Nice.
Yeah, not bad for, you know, 24 years old.
Is that 60 grand?
25. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, less, you know.
Yeah, of course. But still, dang, that's nice.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah,
that's a lot of haircuts.
That's a nice car.
That's a lot of haircuts.
Yeah, and it's fun. So then I started doing real estate. Full-time, had my babies, and then we moved to Utah, and I started doing, well, after COVID happened.
Is that why you guys moved to Utah? Because of COVID?
No. Am I bouncing all over the place?
No, this is great.
Are you going to edit this?
Nope.
We moved out of California to get out of California, so we moved.
Just because of what California is.
Yeah, yeah. So my husband was a cop in San Francisco. We had two little boys. Our boys were at the time, I think, 3 and 4.
Okay.
So we had been looking to get out of California for a while.
I couldn't imagine being a cop in San Francisco. Because what do you even do?
In the Tenderloin, too.
Yeah, what do you even do?
The city, like, it's like the worst place.
You can't even, like, they don't even let you, like, if criminals do stuff. You're
just
like, okay.
Yeah.
Please don't.
I know. I just had this conversation with somebody yesterday. Yeah, so he was a cop in San Francisco. We were living in a nice, safe town, but it's just so expensive.
Yeah.
It's so expensive in California. It's a beautiful state, but it just wasn't serving our family.
Well, I was watching, I love Vanderpump Rules, so guilty as charged. Like, I love it. And then I remember when Megan first started watching, I was like, why are you watching that show? It's weird. She's like, no, it's good. And so I watched, it was like season 4, and I watched a couple episodes. I was like, oh, this is actually very interesting. So I went back and like binged all of them to catch up. I've watched them ever since. But on that show, they were talking about, this one friend was saying to the other, come live with me in my house. And he's like, what would my rent be? And he was like, $6,000 to rent a room.
It's crazy.
In a house.
That's crazy.
And he's like, that's crazy. I can't do that. He's like, well, you're paying $4,500 right now for like a one bedroom apartment. And I was just looked at Megan. I was like, could you imagine?
Yeah.
Paying $6,000 to share a house with somebody when we get to have our house for half of that.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just, I don't know how people do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful state, you know,
and I
think there's a lot of beauty to it.
Of course. The weather's amazing. The beach is incredible.
Yeah, it's just hard to raise kids there. So my husband's sister moved to Kanab, of all places. And so we drove.
What? Drove her to Kanab?
Yeah. So Kanab's a small town in southern Utah.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
It's beautiful. It's amazing, but tiny.
Yeah. They love it. It's good for them.
Yeah.
But they came from Alamo, California, moved their family of four to Kanab. We drove through for 4th of July. And I really felt like my ancestors were buried in the dirt here.
Really?
Yeah. I was
felt it.
I just felt it. So, you know, I was like, well, I can't do Kanab. It's a little too small for me, but maybe St. George. So my husband and I came back in October, looked at some houses, decided to make an offer on one, and we moved in December.
Wow.
Not knowing what we were going to do. So he was still a cop in San Francisco.
Wow.
So he commuted for the first like year and a half.
There's actually a lot of people in St. George who commute for like firefighter or police jobs in California because the pay.
The pay is so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he commuted for the first year and a half. I did.
Was he flying then?
Yeah.
Wow.
Out of Vegas. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that bad. But he would be gone for like sometimes 3 weeks at a time,
right,
depending if he had court or whatever. So then I started selling houses here, got my real estate license in Utah.
What year was this?
2018 is when we moved.
Okay.
So 2019, I got my real estate license. So I was actually, I still sold some houses in California at the time and in Utah.
And that was probably pretty good at that time, right? 2019, mm-hmm. 2020,
yeah.
2021, all these people were moving in.
Yeah.
It was like real estate was good.
Yeah. Well, then we had our third baby in March of 2020.
Okay.
So we had to actually go back to California to have her.
Because of the insurance?
Because of our insurance.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And it was literally 2 weeks, a week. We went back to California 2 weeks before my due date, just to make sure we were there.
Oh, so you were there for COVID.
And it was like a week later, they started shutting everything down. Some of the hospitals weren't allowing spouses in. I mean, it was just holy cow. It was crazy.
That is crazy.
It was crazy. So we had her in the hospital.
What was her birthday?
March 21st. We have the same birthday.
It's like 7 days after, like, because to me, March 13th was like the main, like,
flag. It was literally, it was like a week
that
before
was in
we
the
her.
Craziness.
Yeah, so we were calling the doctors, calling the hospital every day, like, hey, like, how's it looking? Like, can my husband come in? Because there were some hospitals in the area that they weren't allowing the spouse to come in.
Wow.
I'm like, well, I'm not playing that game.
Damn.
We're having the baby in the bathtub.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. So anyways, we had her in the hospital. He was able to come. It kept all the in-laws out, so that was kind of nice.
You know? You didn't have to play that like, it's okay, come in. Don't hold my baby, though.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of nice, actually.
That's awesome.
But then we drove back to Utah the next day, and this was at a time where we were like putting gloves on our hands, spraying the gas pumps with sanitizer.
Of course, yeah.
It was wild. Wild time.
Were you driving with a mask on in your car?
Probably. No, I don't know if I ever reached that level. I don't think I ever got to that level. But you know, a brand new baby, and like they're just like pumping all this fear in you at the time.
Yeah,
like, how are we to know?
We're
just doing what we think we should.
Yeah.
Anyways, where am I going with this? Am I rambling on?
No, this is great.
Okay, so 2020 happens. COVID was the shit show.
Yeah.
Right? Like, whatever your angle is on that, I think we all can agree. 21, I woke up in the middle of the night and I could not shake the feeling that I had to touch people again.
Like, interesting.
I have to do hair. Like, what am I doing?
Like in the middle of the night? You just
literally the middle of the night.
What an interesting thing.
I know, it was weird. I could not shake it. And I never thought I would ever go back to doing hair. So I went down to my husband's office. He was doing some currency trading at like 3 a.m. And I was in tears. I was like, why am I not behind the chair? Why am I not touching people? And I don't know if it was just because of COVID and, you know, just like this
That lack of connection overall.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm like, God, people need to connect.
Yeah, they really did.
I needed to connect with people. So I called my buddy who owns a salon in town the next morning. I texted him at like 7 a.m. I'm like, hey, I hope your phone's on silent. I need to come in today because I got to start doing hair again. So I went in that day, checked out the salon, talked to him about what's available, started working there like 2 weeks later.
Wow.
Built up a pretty big clientele.
And how did you do that? How did you build up your clientele being new?
Yeah, it's at a salon that they get quite a few, you know, call-ins.
Yeah.
And being a seasoned stylist, I was one of the ones he could like easily trust me to handle situations. And I will say, like, I'm pretty good. Once I connect with somebody, I'm pretty good at retaining that relationship a little bit. I'm a pretty authentic person, so we just get right to the point.
How long do your haircuts usually take?
About an hour.
Yeah, so my barber's an hour, and it's like after a while you build like – at this point, he's probably one of my best friends.
Oh, yeah. Because well, it's and like, that's just for a haircut.
You know?
I mean, then you talk color
and all that
you know,
stuff.
Yeah. Like, I could be with somebody for 3.5 hours.
Right.
And, like, I have a client who comes in. She comes in every 2 weeks, and she's like a mom to me at this point.
Yeah. That's wild.
Like, are you even real, Cindy? Are you just here for me? Okay, so let's see. Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, please. Okay. So you're cutting hair. You build a big client base.
A decent one, yeah. So I have this week. I can't remember if I shared this story with you. Megan knows the story. But I don't know if you know the story.
I don't know.
So I had this week at the salon that was completely empty. I had no clients booked, nothing going on. And I didn't try to fill it. I didn't try to not fill it. but I knew the week was going to be something. I knew something was happening. So one of my friends, okay, let me back up. Do you want me to get real weird?
Yeah, please. Okay. The weirder, the better, honestly.
Okay. All right. So it was like 2 weeks before this, I did breath work with my friend, Amy, who's an amazing breath work facilitator.
Is she here?
Have you had her on here? Actually,
no.
Amy Wood?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you should.
Let's do it. Amy Wood.
Yeah.
Amy Wood, if you're listening, reach out. Let's get you on the podcast.
Yeah, she's great. So it was actually her first breath work that she facilitated. So
wow.
We did it just at her house. And you know, the intention was to call something in, like, what do you want? And it can be outlandish. Like, the sky is not the limit. Like, whatever you want. And so for me, I was like, you guys, I want to see everything. I want to see all the spirits in the room. I want to see all I know.
That's a scary thing to ask for.
I know, but I kind of love it. Yeah, I have a history with this stuff. So I'm like, I want to be that person that is just like having a conversation. But you guys all love me so much that you know I'm not crazy. And you'll just like hold me in
trust
that space.
In it.
Yeah. So we did this breath work. I think it was like a week or two after this. I'm at the salon one day and I have this client come in from California. I have not met her before. She was here because her mom has Alzheimer's and she was here helping her mom.
Okay.
And she comes from the Bay Area in California. That's where we moved from.
And you randomly got connected.
Yeah. Yeah. She was just like a random you know, walk-in or whatever. And so we get to chatting. And growing up, we had a 30-bed assisted living home. So I'm very familiar with like the Alzheimer's and the dementia.
Okay.
So we kind of chatted about this. Well, we go back to wash her hair. And the salon was pretty busy this day. And when I'm washing people's hair, I try to just kind of like vibe in, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm just like sending love. Like
Good frequency.
Good frequency. Like letting them relax. Like we're not like having a full blown conversation at the shampoo bowl. It's just like energetic, good vibes. And all of a sudden, all the blow dryers, all the lights in the salon go off and then come back on, like just randomly. And everybody was like, whoa, what just happened? And at that same exact moment, I can't believe I'm telling this story right now. How did we get here?
This is what happens. I told you it's easy.
Yeah, it's so fun. Okay, so at the same exact moment, I had this little old lady pop into my mind's eye. And when I say into my mind's eye, it's like my eyes are open, but I'm just kind of staring off, right?
Yeah,
like I'm just kind of like vibing out, daydreaming. And she comes in clear as day, and she's this like short, plump little old lady with a short, like not grandma hair, but like a short bob. And I knew she wasn't mine. I'm like, okay, I don't know who this is. Like, yeah. I kind of had visions of like my own people or like my people's people, but this was completely random. And so I knew it was hers. I'm like, oh, okay, how do I do this? Like, how do I tell her? What do I say? And she wouldn't, this lady, the old lady.
Yeah.
I felt like she couldn't, like she wouldn't leave me alone.
Until you did what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Like I just kept feeling like she had an abundance of love and gratitude and was so proud of my client. So I'm like, okay, it's either like a mother or a grandmother.
That is a weird thing to like, not a weird thing to have happened because I believe in it, but a weird thing to then bring up to this lady who you're washing her hair, who doesn't know you. And like, so.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, I've watched like Long Island Medium, you know, like twice when I was like 12, like a long time ago. I'm like, okay, how do they do this? Like, how do you just randomly go up to somebody on the street? So we get back to the shampoo bowl. I'm sorry, the station, and I'm cutting her hair and I'm starting to blow dry her. And I'm like, hey, so tell me again, like, did you say your mother-in-law also had Alzheimer's? And she was like, oh, yeah. And I took care of her for, you know, she goes on 10 minutes and starts telling me the story. And it was just like, yes, 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 this is her. So then I asked her, I'm like, did she have like short hair, like not grandma short, but like a really short bob? And she's like, yeah, Kaylee, how did you know that? I'm like, was she kind of like short but plump, like petite but kind of wide? And she's like, yeah. Did you know her in California? Like, did you know her? And I was like, no. She was like, have you seen a picture of her? I was like, no. She's like, well, how do you know this? I'm like, okay, so earlier when I was washing your hair and the lights went off, I had this like little old lady come to me and I just couldn't help but know that she's yours. And I didn't know what to do with it. And I'm really sorry, but she loves you a lot. She's so proud of you. And she's so grateful for you. And my client just starts crying.
Wow.
And then I start crying and I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I just don't know how to.
Yeah.
This has not happened before.
So that's the first time that's ever happened to you?
In that
capacity
of like a random person.
Yeah.
You know? And she's like, no, like you have no idea how much it means for me to hear these things. Like, I like, thank you for telling me. And she's like, do you want to see a picture of her? And I was like, I do. And so she pulls out her phone, shows me a picture, and verbatim, it was her. I was like, holy cow. I went home that night, cried, because I was like, I've been asking for this and it's happening.
And that was 2 weeks after your breath work thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then I was wiped out for like a couple days. Like the energy that it pulled for me was kind of wild. So then I kind of went on this like, help me, like somebody help me how to navigate this. So then what happened? Okay. Now I remember how we got here. Okay. So then like a week after this, maybe two, it's kind of a blur. That was when I had that empty week at the salon.
Okay.
So I had no clients.
You had time to recover.
Yeah. And my friend Amy, who did the breath work, she texts our group thread and she's like, hey, my shaman's coming to town. Does anybody want a session? And I was like, fuck yes. You know, because I've never done this before. Yeah. And I'm like, somebody help me.
Yeah.
So I book a session with Sophia, not knowing what's going to come about it.
Do you even know what the session entails?
No idea. And it's a morning session, you know? So I like have my cup of coffee. I'm like, am I supposed to have coffee? Should I not do this? Like, I literally have no idea. So we go over to Amy's house. I go over to Amy's house and I meet this shaman lady who's now, she's like family. She's become like family. And
does she live in St. George's as shaman or?
No, she lives in Colorado City.
Okay.
Yeah. The most magical people come from Colorado City.
It's a magical place.
Good water, good people.
That's one of the most like beautiful towns there is. Like,
I know.
Got the best backdrop of all time.
I know. I mean, if you're going to start a cult, that's the place to do it.
They nailed it.
Yeah.
They nailed the location, yeah, they got that right. Good, that spring water.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Do you guys get that from Mexico?
No, But I know people who drive up there to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we do. It's so good. It's turned our kids into water snobs, though. We can't go to a restaurant. They're like, this water's
terrible.
Yeah, that's
how Megan is. She'll like smell it. She's like, get out of here.
Yeah, totally. Okay, where was I?
You meet the shaman. So you go to the Amy's house and you have your session with the shaman.
Yeah. Okay, so it's like we're together for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And what Sophia does is she does some like belly work and drops in like energetically, but also how your physical body is holding on to everything.
Oh, and interesting.
So she starts telling me, you have this brother and he loves you so much. He's your biggest cheerleader in this life. He's your biggest support. And I'm like, I don't have that. Like, I have a stepbrother and he's none of those things. I don't even talk to him anymore. She's like, no. He's your full brother and you guys signed a contract to be here together in this life. And for some reason, he missed his time. For some reason, it was taken from him. Ooh, but he wants you to know that. Wow. I know. Have I told you this story?
No.
Okay. But he wants you to know that there's something in your mom that you have spent your whole life trying to help fix and help heal. And he wants you to know that you're not alone. I'm like, okay. Like, that's true. So I'm my mom's only kid, her only living kid.
Uh-huh.
And my mom has been, she was an alcoholic most of my life. So my mom and my stepmom were both alcoholics. And so there's things, you know, as a child of that, when it's your mom, you want to help. And you want them to like see how great they are. But those addictions, like it really oftentimes it stems from just like a self-worth position, right?
Yeah.
And you can't really fix that in somebody. Yeah. So I've spent a lot of my life being frustrated. Like, why am I the only one dealing with her? Yeah. Why am I alone in this?
Yeah.
And so the shaman kind of validated that feeling and was like, he wants you to know you're not alone. He's doing work from the other side. And so what we're going to do is we're going to integrate him into your life. Whew, hold on.
This is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to integrate him into your life so that his physical absence is kind of like reintegrated into you. So even though he's trying to stick with his contract, she says, I see him as somebody who's in his late 30s maybe. And so we're gonna do some work on you so that we can plug him in so the pieces of you that aren't whole will be whole as if he has been here with you the whole time.
Okay.
And even though your mom's in California, this is also going to send healing to her so that the pieces of her that aren't whole will be fixed.
Yeah.
Okay. So at the same moment, I remember a story that my mom told me when I was in high school, probably of like the don't have sex and get pregnant conversation.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So she and my dad had an abortion before I was born.
I was waiting to ask the question. I thought you might get there, but I had to know, like, was there really a baby that didn't get to make it?
Yeah. Yeah. So when I was, I think probably 16 or 17, my mom had told me.
Yeah.
So before I was born, they had an abortion. So
that was your brother.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Chills.
Yeah. That's
it's
wild.
Like coming so full circle lately too. It's fascinating. Okay. So that's my session. There was a lot more to it,
sure.
But that was like the big takeaway.
Yeah,
uh-huh. So my friends and I, we go on a hike that day and we're all talking about our shaman sessions because everybody had kind of had them. And we're talking a lot about my mom and this brother. And that night, here's the frog poison.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm getting to the frog poison. So that night they invited us back like, hey, we're going to do combo. Do you want to come? And I'm like, I have no idea what that is, but sure, let's do it. Like, whatever that means. So we go back to Amy's house to do this combo ceremony with the shaman. And at one point in combo, and we can dive more into that if you want, but it's not a hallucinogenic.
Okay, let me interject a quick funny story. So someone had just done combo yesterday and we had like picked our kids up and we were driving back home and my daughter loves to... what's the word when you listen, you're not supposed to eavesdrop, right? So Megan and I are having a conversation and she's in the back with her headphones on. She leaves one headphone off so that way she can like hear what we're saying. She's like, I'm sorry, guys.
I love that for Liv.
She's like, I'm sorry. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but did you say that someone was taking poison? Because we're talking about frog poison, you know?
Yeah.
And then that's when Megan told me that you had done it. And I was like, oh, interesting. I'll have to ask her about that tomorrow. So then back to you.
Yeah. And I've done it a few times since then. So we can talk more about that if you want. But so combo, it's not a hallucinogenic. It's just like delivers a ton of peptides into your body.
Okay.
So it's mostly, I mean, it kind of, you know, it's energetic in the sense that it's all connected. So your physical, your spiritual, your inner, you know, it's all connected. So it helps clean out your physical.
How do you do it?
So it's administered, the shaman will take an incense stick.
Okay.
And put a little burn on you.
Okay.
Sometimes a few. And then they scratch off the blister from it, and it's like a wax. So it's a
interesting
wax that secretes from these frogs.
Interesting.
And it burns. It feels.
Imagine the first person who figured that out. You know,
like, you want to know that story?
Yes.
Okay. So, well, this is I have not researched this myself, but this is how our shaman has presented it to us.
Okay.
So long time ago, like before the Black Plague came through. I think there was this tribe in the Amazon and they were taking ayahuasca.
Okay.
Which ayahuasca, from what people will say, it's like a direct connection to source, right? Or to God or whatever you want to call it. And they were on ayahuasca and they were told to go find this frog in this jungle that they, it was like a, the, it was a predator of the jungle. Like nothing would ever.
Oh, it's like an invasive species.
Yeah. But nothing would ever mess with it. Like nothing would ever eat it. Like it had no predators itself.
I should say.
And so go find this frog, treat it in such a way, and it's going to release this wax, this oil, put it on everybody in your tribe, do it every day, you know, for however long you need to. So this specific tribe started doing it every day on everybody in their tribe, and the Black Plague came through, and it took every other tribe out around them except theirs.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how I understand the story. I could have botched it. Like, that might not be it.
Get your imposter syndrome out of here. It has no place here. That's the story.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because you always wonder, like, how, and even ayahuasca, like, how did they stumble upon that?
Right?
Like,
oh, I know, it's fascinating.
Take this root or whatever it is and smoke it, or however you take it.
I don't know.
I don't know what you do with it.
You drink it.
No, you drink it.
I haven't done ayahuasca, but you drink it.
Do you want to do ayahuasca?
You know, maybe sometime in my life. I don't really feel totally called to it. I feel like for me, I can drop in pretty easily, but I'm a little.
That makes sense. So you don't need the.
No, I think I could probably use it. I just don't think that season is now.
Yeah. Does it scare you a little bit?
It doesn't scare me, but I think there's something really powerful to be able to get to things on your own and trust in the process. Like, I feel like a lot of people are so quick to give their power away and go do these big medicine journeys and go do these things. And it's kind of like they're trading one temple for another, if you will.
Yeah.
And no judgment, because I think we all have a way to go about things.
Sure.
But for me, it's not my pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. I love that answer.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're doing frog poison.
Yeah. So we're doing frog poison.
And what a crazy day for you.
It's crazy. Well, it gets crazier. So we're doing frog poison. And at one point, I'm sitting up, and you know when you like get up too quick and you have all these stars all around you, you kind of get dizzy. Okay. So I had that, and I'm like, whoa, you guys, like, there, what is going on? I feel so good. And again, reiterating, combo is not a hallucinogenic. So this really shouldn't be like an effective combo.
Yeah.
Okay. So I get back home. We get back home. So my husband did it with me.
Okay.
We get home at like, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night. My kids are all in bed. We have a nanny there, Mariana. Mariana says to me, oh, so Josephine woke up, our baby. Josephine woke up and was really like, really distraught, like as if she had had a nightmare or something. And I almost called you guys because I felt like something had happened, like something was wrong. Because this is what, that's not normal.
Interesting.
You know?
And how old is your baby at that time?
2.
Okay.
So normally if she wakes up, we just kind of like let her cry it out and she like gets calm. But she was really, really frantic. So Mariana went in there and calmed her down. I'm like, okay, well, you got her back to sleep? And she was like, yeah. I'm like, okay, great. Cool.
Yeah.
Good story.
Yeah. You know? Thanks.
Thanks for letting me know. And about 10 minutes later, so we're telling Mariana. So Mariana lives with us. So she's, so, you know, she's like part of the family.
Yeah.
And so we're telling Mariana about our day, like about my session and Anthony had a session and about combo. And I look down at my phone and I see a missed call from my stepdad. And so I text him because it's late, you know, and he's in California. So I text and I'm like, hey, like I saw a missed call. Like, is everything okay? And he said, no. And I knew. So I called him and my mom had died.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Whoa.
I know you weren't expecting this.
I am like, I am, you know, back before there was movies, used to tell stories like this. Like, that's what I feel like I'm doing. Like, that was a cliffhanger I did not see coming. Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah,
so that day.
That night while we were doing combo. So So he found her. So we don't know exactly her.
You close with your mom at this time, given all the childhood trauma and all that?
Yeah. I know. We all have that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're relatively close. We see things very differently.
Okay.
And with the alcohol, and a lot of people didn't know that my mom drank as much as she did. She's a great lady. She was a great lady. But she just had her habits, her nighttime habits that kind of kept getting earlier and earlier. And my stepmom died of alcoholism. So I've seen that death before. I've seen how people start to behave before that death happens. It's almost like a dementia. Like the brain gets a little swollen.
Yeah.
They get a little, you know, discombobulated, I guess, if you will, or misunderstandings happen a lot. And so that was my relationship with my mom.
Okay.
We started to have a lot more misunderstandings, and she wasn't seeing me for me.
Okay.
And when I would show up as me, like if I showed up too big, it would almost make her feel like small.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting when you have that dynamic where like the child becomes that, you know, and then the parents like, whoa, I'm supposed to be that light, and you become that light.
Yeah.
It can be a challenge. I have a question, maybe too personal, but what was your response when you found out?
I think, you know, probably I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so crazy, because here's how my day has gone.
Like, yeah, like not tears.
No, no. So I kind of knew my mom was dying soon. I actually had told my stepdad probably about a year before
that. Okay, so you felt it.
I felt it.
So you
it
weren't
coming.
Surprised.
Yeah.
Just the situation with the day.
Yeah.
That's like what?
I was just like, holy hell. Like, so after I left the shaman session that morning, when I found out about this brother on the other side,
yeah,
I called my dad, because my dad's into it. So
okay.
my dad can, like, for the most part, hold that space. So I'm
yeah.
like, oh my God, dad, like, you have this son on the other side. How cool is that? And then I called my little, I have a half sister.
Did your dad think it was cool?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he kind of, he's become a very religious man. So
yeah.
I think he doesn't know what to do with it.
Just because he was a part of the decision to not let that son live.
Yeah.
Then that could almost not be cool and be more like, oh, that like, ugh.
Yeah, but it was kind of, it was like, he's still with us, you know, and that's kind of how I presented it. Like,
sure.
It sounds like he's doing his thing. He's trying his best. Like, he's still there. How neat is that? And then I called my half little sister, who's my dad and my stepmom's daughter. And I was like, oh my God, Michelle, everything that I am to you on earth, you have on the other side. You have a brother on the other side also.
Oh, interesting.
How neat.
Yeah.
But I never called my mom, because I didn't want to make her feel like sad.
Guilty or something.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, you know, when I get the news that she died, I mean, obviously it's kind of a shock, right?
Yeah.
Like, she literally just fell, and he found her outside. So it was such a weird way of dying. Not the way that I was like expecting it to go. Like, I thought it was going to be this long
saga.
You know, all these health issues, kind of like what my stepmom unfortunately went through. And
oh, right, because you'd already seen alcoholism take someone.
And
so
a part of me was like, beautiful. Like, what a way to go, you know? But obviously, like, oh my God, I can't believe she's gone.
Do you believe that that's her death and your session are connected?
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't have that session, is she still alive?
So, it's funny that you ask this. No, I don't believe that. I think her time was coming to an end.
Uh-huh.
But I reached out to my shaman like 3 days later when I finally got my like...
Yeah, bearings.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot to process in a day.
What is this earth? Yeah, like, where are we? So I reached out to her and I was like, thank you so much for holding that space for me as my mom passed. And she said to me, oh, Kaylee, like, she sent me this huge long text. I still have it saved on my phone. Oh, Kaylee, like, I could feel so many spirits there with us when we were doing that session. And I could feel a highest, like a highest soul present, but I didn't know who it was. She was like, it was your mom, knowing her time was coming to an end. And so everything that's been happening to you, your mom's highest soul has just been orchestrating it to protect you and keep you in this safe bubble. So, you know, it's like, to be honest with you, I feel like I now have a better relationship with my mom now that she's on the other side.
Based on what you're saying, that doesn't sound surprising.
You know?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like we can see each other clearly.
Yeah.
I can,
because all of Earth's responsibilities are gone.
Yeah. And assumptions and judgments and traumas and fears and like all the things that like bog us down in this like such physical plane.
Do you think that a part of it was that then, like, because your shaman awakened that connection with your brother and your mom, then now she knew definitively, like, oh, I can go and be with him?
Perhaps. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it was all divine timing.
Yeah.
I kind of believe everything always is.
And so then, do you believe that the connection with your daughter, was that like when your mom passed, your daughter had that, like, at that same time?
I kind of think so.
Like, then maybe your mom visited her and freaked her out.
I kind of think my mom came in right away. Yeah.
And freaked her out because, like, you're a baby and you're just like, whoa, is there a ghost here?
I know. Yeah, totally. No, we had so much activity in our house for, like, weeks. It was kind of fun. And it still is, you know? Like, just knowing how much support we have on the other side.
Does it ever scare you?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm. Like, what?
I don't know. Just whenever, like, it happens to me, I feel like, whoa, I don't like, I'll be sleeping. And it's like, whoa. And I'm like, I can feel it. I'm like, get out of here. I don't know who you are or why you're here, but I don't want it.
I mean, I think there's something real with that. So for me, I believe we have such a duality here, right? We have to. We have to have good and bad, black and white, big and small. Like, that's just the frequency, the plane that we are on.
Yeah.
So I think it's a very natural feeling to feel afraid. But I also believe at a higher level, all of those things have a very pure place.
Yeah, it's what's interesting is, like, rationally, I don't think that this energy is here that can harm me physically in any way. But it's
normal.
It's invasive that there's this thing there. And I'm like sleeping and it's just like, you're not supposed to be here. And I didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
And
I just want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Like, could you not make weird noises?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. That I do get. I'm totally afraid of the dark.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah. Even to this day. Like, if I'm like, if my husband's gone, right? Or whatever. And I have to like get in bed by myself, I definitely make like a running leap to hop on.
Like when you're a kid, you run up the stairs fast, like beat the spirits, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I am scared. Okay. So where I'm going with all this. So then I'm working at that salon when all of this happened.
That was the greatest segue of all time, by the way.
I know. Do you love this? I'm getting to how I'm doing all the things right now. Okay. And the story I just told you, everybody in that salon had heard that story a few times.
Sure.
You know, and I'm not telling it to every single person that comes into my chair.
But, oh, of course, because now we're back to that lady from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Where you called in her
and
mom.
Like,
or,
hey, my clients, you know, hey, how's your life? What's going on? Oh, well, my mom just died.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what happened?
Of course, it's such
a normal conversation.
Yeah.
But for me, I can't be like, oh, she fell and that's it. Like, because I'm like, I got it. There's so much more to it than this. But I think the energy of that conversation coming up over and over got to be a little awkward for the salon environment. Totally understandable. And I could feel things were coming to a shift. Like, I could feel like my time there was probably coming to an end. And so I started. One day I was hugging my husband and I leaned into him and I was like, God, I just see myself in the salon with these big windows and these lines in it and these red rocks in the background. I don't know if it's mine. I don't know if it's somebody else's. I don't know if it's in Santa Clara, St. George. Like, I don't know what this is. And then it came to a head at my previous salon. Is my story making sense?
Yeah. 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 Okay. I'm following it. Yep.
So it came to a head at the previous salon. So I knew I needed to go.
Yeah.
So I called one of my best friends in town who knows everybody. And I'm like, hey, where do I go? I need a salon. She's like, call so-and-so. Call Elizabeth Faye. You're going to love it there. You're going to love her. So I called Elizabeth, talked to her on the phone, went into the salon, checked it out quickly. I was kind of frantic because I'm like, I need a new salon home.
Yeah.
Met with the manager, started working there immediately. It was like 2 weeks later. Again, I have Amy. It keeps going back to Amy.
Yeah.
So I have my friend Amy in the salon and I turn her around. She's like, oh my God, Kay, that view. I was like, holy shit, that view. That's the view. So,
wow.
I know. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. And you didn't realize it until she said it.
Yeah. Because I was just like.
Yeah. You're just in life.
Just in life. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, that's the view. How did I miss it?
Isn't it amazing what you can't see when like it's right in front of you?
Yeah.
Do you familiar with the book, The Alchemist?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
That's basically that book.
Yeah. I need to read that book again.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. I've been saying that lately. I need to read it again. So anyway, so I work at the salon for a while. And again, I felt like this shift was happening. And I felt like things were going to be changing at the salon. So I asked some of the girls, like, hey, would you ever want to own a salon? And one of them was like, oh, yeah, I've actually been looking at some different locations. I'm like, well, would you ever want to own this salon if it became available? No, I don't think so. I wouldn't want to move here. I wouldn't want to be here. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to ask Elizabeth then if she'd ever be willing to sell, that I might be somebody who would be interested. So for weeks, I didn't want to like offend Elizabeth,
saying
like, hey, let me buy your business.
Yeah.
So I was just like playing with it and like speaking it out loud a little bit. And I finally got the courage to text Elizabeth one day. And I was like, hey, if you ever think about selling, just put me on the list of people that might be interested. She's like, that's so crazy that you say that, because just yesterday I was talking to my fiance and I had said to him, it makes me sad to think about, but I think it's time to sell the salon.
Wow.
I know.
Life's amazing.
Weird.
When you're tuned in, right? Like all the things.
Yeah, and seasons. I think there's like heightened seasons that you're just like, like the things are lining up and coming right in front of
you. Yeah, because there's things that nothing lines up.
Oh yeah. Right? And you're just like, what in the fuck am I doing? Yeah. And it's dense, but I think it's like a normal thing. I had a client.
Well, it's cyclical. You need it.
Yeah, you have to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a client recently say, like, life, or like, you can put it in the context of a relationship. It's like a long conversation.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's like highs and then there's lulls. And anyways, I thought that was beautiful. So where are we at?
So she says, oh my gosh, I just told my fiance I might need to sell it.
Yeah. So then we do that. So we make that happen. So we take over the salon. We remodel it. We bring in a whole, everybody went to the other salon that one of the girls was opening. And we knew this was happening.
Yeah.
And it kind of allowed us the space to bring in something.
And where's your salon located?
In St. George. So we are above the, I like to say, because it's easy location, the day spa and the med spa, the St. George day spa.
Oh, on like Bluff Street?
Mm-hmm. Got it. Exactly. Okay. So we're upstairs, which is nice because my house is like a minute away.
So do you know Talisha then?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Talisha is going to be, I think, episode 60. So she's 10 episodes after you.
Yeah. Okay.
Talisha is who introduced Megan and I.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. What a small world.
And so she introduced us and then we never saw her again.
Okay.
And we're in Mexico for spring break, I think 3 years ago. And you know, like at the resorts in Mexico, they'll bring out like the street vendors like around the pool and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like our kids are looking at it and then someone goes, Megan.
Hey, you guys went to Cancun.
And it's Talisha.
Oh, that's so funny.
With her husband who I'd never met.
Do you want to know what's so weird?
Yes, please.
Is when you guys arrived into Cancun, we were flying out of Cancun that
day. Right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
what
right.
What in the world?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Why were we all in Cancun?
So that was like day two of the trip or something. So we spent the rest of spring break with them and now we're great friends. In fact, and next... No, 2 weekends we're going to Lovers and Friends concert with them
in
Vegas.
Fun.
But yeah, so like she introduced us, never saw her again, randomly bump into each other at a resort in Mexico.
It's a small world though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's wild.
And I feel like when you're supposed to meet people,
And they come into your lives at different times.
Yeah.
And
I mean, even your podcast, Cody, like so many people on your podcast, I'm like, oh, I know them.
I know, it's
like
very interesting.
It's a weird
You're connected to people you don't realize you're connected to, right? You're like maybe one friend away from like, oh, like I know Cody through Megan, but I actually also know McCray and I know this person and this person and this person. And yeah, it's interesting.
So one of our best friends is Burkell, who works at your salon.
Stop it. See?
Yeah, there we go.
That's so, I was like, who's talking?
That? Source.
Yeah, source.
It's actually plugged directly into the headphones, so it's super convenient.
Yeah. It means ayahuasca. You can just have these headphones.
Oh, man.
Welcome to Blue Form, where we connect you to Source.
So good. Anyways.
So I asked your location, went on a tangent. So your location is above Bluff Street. You remodel it. The people leave.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we have this like beautiful organic hair salon. And
did you know at the time it was going to be an organic hair salon or did that like...
I have so many little, I get these little visions. I mean, kind of. I definitely wanted to take it that direction because it doesn't quite exist to the capacity that I think it should.
Yeah, it's interesting if you think about it, like holistically, because people who are very health conscious, but then there's all these things that we do that are maybe counterintuitive to that. And certainly putting like a poisonous hair dye in the follicles of your head.
Yeah, not just that. I mean, even fragrances. So like all of our products have no added fragrance. It's all essential oils that are organic. So it's biodynamic organic. It's a beautiful brand. It's a beautiful company.
And it's based out of Italy.
Yeah.
How'd you find them?
So when I used to work for the L'Oreal owned company years ago, a girl who I worked with, Krista, started working with this company that's based out of Italy. And so she called me a few years ago, like, hey, they're building their corporate team in the US. Like, would you want to be a part of it? And I kind of toyed with the idea and I'm like, fuck no. I don't want to go back to corporate world.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite that hard. I was like, no. Anyway, so then when the salon came to fruition, I was like, hey, Krista, I'm going to start the salon. Let's partner up with this brand this way. Like, send me some samples.
That's really
cool. Tell me that it works.
Do people find you because of that? Like, specifically because, like, they're looking for that kind of alternative?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, the salon feels good. Like, the number one thing people say when they walk in is, oh, God, it feels so good in here.
Yeah.
And I think it's just all of it, you know?
Yeah.
Try to keep the vibes high and...
putting good energy into it.
Good energy, but also good, healthy product that's not... putting all these toxics in our body.
Yeah. And so you've owned it for how long now?
We officially like made the transaction in I think February, but then we waited until the other girls were opening up their salon. I don't want to like mess with anybody's business.
Yeah.
So they left, I believe, in June, and then we did a demo that took us about 6 weeks. So we opened our doors July of 23.
Okay. So you're almost about to celebrate your year.
Yeah. And it's been going so good. It's so fun.
How many people do you have cutting hair there?
There's 9 of us, including our apprentice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big team.
It is. Yeah. I'm calling in a second location for next year. So Like where?
In St. George or somewhere else? Okay, in St. George.
Yeah, we need a little bit more space.
Do you run all the day-to-day of that then?
For the most part, I mean, we're kind of all hands on deck. Like, it's a really cool collective group.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, believes in the vision and wants it to succeed. So it's kind of all hands on deck. But yeah, I do a lot of like the inventory and the...
Right.
I do a lot of it.
So, and you're also a real estate agent.
Yes.
So where do you spend most of your time? Or is it just kind of fluctuate depending?
Honestly, right now. So that's one thing, you know, previously, like there were seasons in my life that I kind of did both, but I was afraid to tell my hair clients that I also did real estate.
Well, yeah, you and I were just talking about that.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to lose an opportunity because like, oh, they're not invested. They're doing this other thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And vice versa. Like, oh, she can't be serious about selling houses if she also cuts hair, you know? And I kind of just think that whole mindset is such bullshit. So,
yeah. Well, and also who doesn't today have something else?
So many things. Like as humans, we're so multifaceted. Like how boring of a life if we just stay in one lane.
Well, and I think too, people oftentimes say, oh, how do you have the time for it? But it's like, there's a lot of fucking
time.
You know, like if you sleep for 8 hours, you just have 16 other hours to do things.
Yeah.
Like there's plenty of time.
Yeah. And we all have to spend our time doing something.
Yeah.
And what I have found doing hair and houses is it's all about connecting with people.
Yeah.
You know, kind of circling back to that. Like it's all about connecting and, typically, our hair clients, you learn everything about their life and real estate. Like real estate and hair are two topics of conversation that are so easy to have just about anywhere we go. So they're lately, they've just been feeding one another.
I'd imagine. Yeah. I would think that like if you're cutting someone's hair and like, oh, I got to sell my house or I'm buying a house, like it creates that opportunity. I say all the time, like my barber, his name's Eli. He's been on the podcast and he's amazing and he's super tactically skilled at cutting hair. But I go to him because the conversation is so entertaining.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, it's people, like they pay me not for my skills. They pay just to hang out.
Yeah. 100%. Like I pay way more for a haircut than I believe that I should.
Yeah.
Because one, he's really good. But two, it's so entertaining.
It's a hangout. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's just a value exchange, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do both. So, I mean, I wouldn't say I do one more than the other. Kind of ebbs and flows. But
just depending on what the demand is.
Yeah. I mean, like yesterday I was at the salon from 9 till 2, and then we had a then we ran over to like a remodel, met with some other clients, had a listing presentation and a showing, and we got home at last night at like 9:30.
It's kind of fun when you have all of that stuff going. It's fun to juggle, you know, and figure out like, how am I going to navigate this? Like even now as we're doing a podcast, I have one text message here for one company. This text message is for a different company. And then I have a Slack message for a different company.
So fun.
While I'm doing this podcast.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with any of those three things.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a little, sometimes it can be a lot. But I found, you know, when I was younger and really driven in the beginning, I found myself in this kind of space of like, I'm doing all these things. And then as you get into the end of life and things were, you know, it kind of leveled out.
Well,
It wasn't as fun to not have the things to do.
Yeah.
Like I don't feel overworked or overstressed. I feel enjoyed because like I get to exercise my brain in a way of like, how am I going to navigate this? And how can I make all this work? And then I'm connected with Megan. I'm like, here's our goals. Here's what we're trying to do. And like, we're finally moving things again.
Yeah.
Where for so long, we really weren't moving anything. We were just living.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, this is our life now. And this comes in and that goes out and this is what it is. But now we're finally
it's
back
like transactional.
To
like it became transactional.
Absolutely.
I feel like when you're in flow and like at the end of the day, you have to have fun and you have to have gratitude. And if you don't
have
either of those, what's the point?
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So I feel like when you can drop into that space of just like finding enjoyment and like being grateful for it, even the hard things that come up, like even when it gets difficult, if you can just have fun and like see the bigger picture and just know it's going to pass.
And when you have that purpose
magnetic.
And you're working towards something, even if it's difficult, you have the gratitude because you're like, oh, this is hard right now, but this is creating an opportunity for this. And this is the thing that's really important to us, you know? And so it's been like, it's been a busy year, but just it's my favorite year I've had in a long time.
Yeah. I would say the same. It's an 8 year. It's an abundant year.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. I think too, you know, like the phrase is true. Like if you want something done, give it to somebody who's busy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Think about that. Because like when you're not busy, you tend to procrastinate things.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I'll get to it when I get to it.
Yeah. And if you're not in it, then it's like, whatever. I just not worry about it.
But when you're just like going.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's momentum. Because momentum works whatever direction you're headed, you know?
Yeah.
So if you got that busy momentum, then once it's moving, you're going to find something to fill it because you've got like, you got that energy behind you.
Yeah.
You know, not being lazy.
Yeah, totally.
And I think I totally did get lazy for a while because I could. Like I had the luxury of being lazy.
But I think seasons, like also no shame, right? Don't have shame.
Yeah.
Don't have shame for any of that, because there's seasons in our life and it gives us the perspective when we're in it or we're out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I think we tend to do that. We can beat ourselves up. I think when you're somebody who likes to produce and has fun creating and connecting and producing and going, when we have those seasons that we're not, we tend to be really hard on ourselves, and it can almost get depressive.
Yeah.
And so it's just like finding gratitude for that stuff too, right?
Yeah, for being able to have that time where it wasn't go. Even like yesterday. So yesterday we had a really busy day, and then we had so I started doing like my social media stuff in the morning. Then I went and I focused on three different companies throughout the day. And then I came home, had Cash's soccer game, got home, had dinner, got the kids ready for bed. And I went to bed. I was in bed at 9:20, where in the past I would have been like, oh, finally, I'm going to have a drink. I'm going to watch TV. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to zone out, you know? But instead I was like, no, I don't really care about anything on TV. So I'm going to read this book, go to bed, and then be ready for the podcast tomorrow. Like, I'm going to have such a better podcast because I'm doing what I should be doing tonight.
Taking care of yourself.
Versus like staying up late just because I'm trying to disconnect. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was like, and it felt good to be making that decision.
Yeah.
Because for so long in the past, I was making the decision of just whatever.
Yeah.
Just hang out.
Yeah. Have some whiskey on the couch.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, nice. I mean,
that's always fun,
I mean,
too.
That's fun, too. Yeah. That's my point. Seasons. Yeah.
There's no right or wrong.
Yeah, there's no right or wrong.
Like, I think giving yourself the grace to feel that way, because you're right. Looking back, it was like, oh, why am I doing this? Like, why aren't I reading that book on my nightstand?
Yeah. Yeah, or even just now, right? I mean, you're saying like, no, but I made the conscious choice to not do that.
Yeah.
So you're kind of putting one above the other, and one's not really above the other. It just
yeah,
is what
totally
serving
am.
You.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay.
It's interesting too, because it's all our choice anyways.
Yeah.
So it's like you just get to decide. Like, there's no parameter saying like, this is the thing that you have to do or you're supposed to do. It's just, what do you want to do?
Yeah. What are you going to fill your time with?
Yeah. Yeah, life's interesting like that.
It's so interesting.
So talking about you being a super connector, and that's really how it works for you, right? That's how you've built your success with your spa, and then of course with real estate, and real estate especially, because that's like, you don't go into a store and pick a realtor.
Yeah.
Like, usually someone says, I'm selling or buying, and then a friend is like, oh, this person's awesome, you know? Yeah. And so what do you think is the key to your success with that, you know, being a super connector?
I think when you can like see people human to human and just like be super authentic and lead with authenticity, it allows for a greater connection.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, we all have times that we're not.
Yeah, like, right. Well, like, and you're in tune energetically too, and everything is energy. And so if you're in tune to that, it's going to just naturally be easier for someone to connect
and
with you.
And you can feel the difference, right?
For
like
sure.
you can tell if you walk into a store and you have like repellent on. Like,
yeah, right.
Everybody is like, you're not running into anybody. There's no smiles given or taken, like no exchange. And then you have those days where you're like, you got good sleep the night before, you feel so good. You're excited for life. So I think when I'm operating in that frequency is when my connections.
That's funny, because that reminds me of like when I used to, like, especially when I was like in that retail space, like when I was managing retail locations. I remember one day going to the grocery store and I bought donuts for my team. And so I went like dress slacks and a polo. Like, that was my uniform, right? And I'm walking in the grocery store and someone's like, oh, excuse me, like, can you tell me where so-and-so is? And it's like, I was like, oh, no, I'm so sorry, I don't work here. And like, well, why are you in their uniform? And I was like, I don't think I am, but also like, I don't know, I can't help you. But when you say that, it's like energetically, I was in very much open to like, let me help you.
Yeah, interesting.
And so obviously I was not in the grocery store's uniform, but they probably just felt my energy of like, this person.
You were working.
Yes, this is a helper.
Yeah.
And I'm walking with a purpose. And, you know, and I remember it happened in Target once too. And I actually that time was wearing a red polo. So I was like, but I also had like a shopping cart with my kid in it, you know, but I get it. But I read this interesting thing last night, because I read, which is great. And I, even though I am extroverted professionally, because like I have to be, on my own time, I'll be very introverted, because it's like, I put so much energy out professionally. Like, I don't want, like, even when Megan said you guys are coming over for dinner, I was like,
I know, I remember that. We had to drink some whiskey.
Yeah.
We went through the whole thing of whiskey just to get cozy.
I was like, I really don't want to. Like, I have enough friends. Like, I know I'm not being a good husband supporting you, but like, I just don't want to. And I'm so glad that we did. And that's usually how it works. But, and so even at like parties, if I don't know people, and it's like, I got to go meet people, I'm like, oh, I don't want to. Like, it's my worst nightmare. And I'm capable of doing it. Because if you said, hey, there's a bunch of clients and you got to go make friendships and they'll buy things from you, I'd be like, okay, I'll do that. But in this book last night, it said, stop worrying about yourself. So when you're in a social setting and you're worried about how you're going to be comfortable, instead, go make the people at the party comfortable. And I was like, damn, that's brilliant.
That's so full circle, Cody, to what we were just saying, like, the very beginning of, like, when you go into a room or you're meeting new people, are you always like, what am I going to be? What am I going to show? What am I going to bring?
Wow, look at that.
It's so much about you when you're operating that way. But we do do that.
Yes.
We do do that. And then sometimes we spiral when we're in that headspace.
Wow, what an interesting.
Because we're like, what are we bringing? Like, who am I going to be? Like, what's my identity?
Yeah.
Like, what do I have to offer? Right? Like, me, versus just showing up and serving, or to your point, like, what are they, what is the whole interaction?
Yeah, because what's so fascinating when I read that is I was like, oh wow, because everyone at the party feels the same way.
Yeah.
How am I going to be comfortable? Like, who am I going to talk to? Where am I going to stand? Like, and then I was like, that would be so, because I was thinking back to this hospitality event I go to. I was like, if I just went up to people and I was like, oh, that person's alone, let me go make them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Like it was my party, you know, then they're going to be comfortable because I'm comfortable and then I'm indirectly comfortable. Yeah. And it was like, what a fascinating way to shift the dynamic and instead be like, oh, I'm just here to make sure everyone's having a good time versus I'm here trying to make sure I don't feel weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're just flowing.
So interesting. That was a pretty cool little nugget in that book. It's called Bad Therapy. Okay. Really fascinating book.
Bat therapy?
Bad.
Bad. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was like, bats? Bat therapy?
She was a guest on Joe Rogan, and I thought that the conversation was fascinating. And so I've been reading her book, and I really enjoy it so far.
Cool.
And it's like a book I would never read. It's like therapy with kids. Like, totally not a book that would ever make it on my nightstand otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I'll look into it.
Yeah. I think you'll like it.
Yeah. That's what I need to make time to read.
Or do you?
Or not.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we say that and we think it, but do you? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Do you ever listen to audiobooks or anything?
No, I'd prefer to read.
I do too. Yeah.
Yeah. Seasons.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I should also yoga.
Why do you think your response is, I need to read?
Well, because I think I would like to.
Yeah.
I would like to. But at the end of the day, there really are only so many hours in the day.
Yeah.
And some seasons you're just like grinding more than others.
And also, if you think you'd like to, don't you think you'd be doing it? Because you probably do things
absolutely.
You like.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I want to.
Yeah. It sounds like it's cool and sophisticated.
Yeah.
And...
yeah. You're right. That's the responsible thing to say. But is it true?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either.
And I think what I struggle with, I have three books on my nightstand now because like the people I know who like, cook through books and read, you know, 100 books a year, they will give up on a book very quickly. Mm. Like they'll get into it and they'll be like, not for me, and move on. And I can't do it because I feel like I didn't complete the task. Mm-hmm. And so I'll let it, I've got a book on my nightstand right now and it's pretty good, but it's been there for, I started reading it my birthday last year. So it's been there for a year.
A while. Yeah.
So at some point you got to say like, because then it stops me from reading because I feel like I shouldn't start another one. Because I haven't finished this one. So that's how I got to three books on my nightstand.
Oh, interesting.
All about halfway read.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's like dishes in the dishwasher. Like you got to unload it.
I know.
But you just keep filling up the sink and stuff.
Because I feel like I can't put on my bookshelf unless I've read it.
Okay.
It's like that's my rule. If I haven't read the book, it's in a drawer.
So interesting.
And it goes on the bookshelf once I've, because it's like a trophy. Like, did it, you know?
Did it. Yeah, all of those I've read.
So that way people, I don't want people to see a bunch of books and be like, wow, you're really well read. And I'm like, well, the thing is, I'm well bought.
Decoration. Yeah. I know we do that too, though, right?
Yes.
Get on a mode and go on Amazon and get like six good
Not
books.
Me. I don't buy things.
Oh, you don't?
I've never bought anything on Amazon in my life.
Never?
Never.
Good for you. I don't know this about you.
Just because I feel like I know it's easy, right? Obviously, because there's boxes arriving at my house frequently for Megan.
Okay. So Megan does the buy.
It's like if I want something, I'll tell her, like, buy this for me.
Okay. You're like the people in Utah that you can't go out and go shopping on a Sunday, heaven forbid, but like you can send somebody else.
Yes,
to
of course.
Errand.
Yeah, right. Guilty by proxy. Yeah, I just feel like it's just a door I don't want to open because I don't want to be, it's so easy.
Yeah.
You could just fall into it, you know?
Yeah.
So just having the extra little hurdle. And like Megan and I have a budget for our family and like, you know, we use our card and you can see who bought it. Like Megan makes 95% of the purchases in our house. I just don't do it. Like her budget is more than double mine.
Okay.
Because I don't really spend money.
Oh, interesting.
Which there's a balance there, right?
There
because
is.
Like,
because you got to move the money for more money to come in.
No, I know that. So
do you?
That's, yeah, no, I know, I do. But it is something I can be better at because I am much more like, hold on and hoard it, right? Because like when I was a kid, our money would come and go. And so I always had that like hold on to it tight, you know, where I know you've got to put it out to let it back in. And
that's a hard thing to let go of, though.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Well, and as the provider, even though Megan works and she makes money and she owns half of our company too, I still feel that responsibility. And so it's like, if something happened, I don't want to not have like this.
Yeah.
So we're okay.
Well, I think there's also like something to be said as a masculine to like,
yeah.
you kind of want you want to have a little bit of that responsibility.
For sure.
You know,
yeah.
Like I told my husband recently, I said, listen, like I want to fantasize about owning a yacht and like our own island and a helicopter and all these things, but I kind of need a dad and I need you to be like, that's a really cute idea. And like, maybe like it would be fun to have that, but I just don't know. Like I need that response rather than like, yeah, it'll happen, you know, because then when it doesn't, I'm kind of blaming you. Like, I kind of need a dad to like,
that is so funny,
keep me in control a little bit, you know?
Yeah, there's we went to an event last year, Meg and I, called the Summit of Greatness, and Jen Sincero, she wrote You Are a Badass.
Okay.
And she talked about how when she was struggling, she was living in a garage, she had no money, and she signed up for this course, and the course was more than she made in a year, but she's like, I gotta just do it. And she's like, just told myself money flows easily and freely. And Megan has said that no less than 1,000 times since that day, you know? And so now anything that happens, it's like, no, it's all good. Money flows easily and freely.
I love that.
And there is an energetic piece to that. Like,
absolutely.
If you really believe it, mm-hmm. the universe is, and anything we believe in life, we're gonna find reasons to validate that belief,
yeah.
right? No matter what it is.
Yeah.
And so if you keep saying it, you're going to look for all these reasons that is true, and therefore there will be more reasons.
Yeah.
And so it sounds simple, but I mean, it's working.
It's so true. Yeah. We had a season in our life when we first moved to Utah and my husband was commuting back to San Francisco and I wasn't working a lot. We put ourselves on a tight budget and we had to, because we didn't have a ton. But we were so focused, like for so long, I view it now. I'm like, we were so focused on the drain. We got to stop looking at where the money's going and the drain. We have to look more at the faucet. Like, just move our energy up to the faucet and it'll start coming in. And it did. Like, once we like made that commitment to stop counting every penny, because it was kind of a game for a little bit, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, save, how much money can we save?
Yeah.
It became this like sickness.
Right.
And we've never been poor.
Yeah,
like,
right.
We were so poor in that season of life.
Yeah.
We were so worried about where the money was
going. No, I mean, there's a story in my book about like when Megan went over her budget $5 and I was like, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, like mathematically you can't, because like,
it doesn't account.
Yeah. That $5 does not exist if we do all the other things. And so it's interesting in life, especially for, I don't know how long you and Anthony have been together, but Megan and I have been together for 17 years. So it's like, there's so much.
Yeah.
Like, and even looking back on our life now, like we lived in Arizona before we had kids. It's like, it's hard to even realize that life existed, mm-hmm. because there's that life. And then there's our life with Liv in Houston. And then there's the life with Cash in our little house here. And then there's the life that we have now. And it's like, they're all so different. And looking back at things, it's hard to even believe like, oh, these things are happening, mm-hmm. because that kid, or Megan and I, when we had to live in our house and we were in that budget phase, we could have never, if you would have told us this is where you're going to be in 5 years, we couldn't have even wrapped our head around it. That's why I think dream big, because you just, who knows?
Yeah, what's the point if you're not, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, literally, what's the point of dreaming if you're not dreaming big?
Yeah.
It's pointless.
And it's weird how that can be difficult to do.
I know. And you can't really teach it either.
No.
And also, I think even for, like, it's a practice. And so it's not like you all of a sudden become a master at it.
No.
Because then I think you're dead, right? Like,
for
if you're
sure.
a master at anything, like, well,
yeah,
bye.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Where's your growth? Well, I talked about how on the podcast before, like when we lived in our little house, our mortgage was $600 a month. Mm. And I loved it because I was like, oh, sweet. Like, no matter what, like, it's all good. Like, as that masculine provider, like, there will never become a time that I won't be able to have a house for my family. Because, mm-hmm. like, I could literally just sell hot dogs on Bluff Street and like we could live in our house, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought that was such an advantage, but realized after because even when we got our house, I told Megan, I was like, we can't afford this. Like, I don't know how we're going to do it. And she's like, we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've lived in it for 3 years. We're fine.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like,
step up to the plate.
I had that mental block. And it's like, once you have that responsibility, you're going to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a beautiful thing too in that way, right?
Yeah, I don't
think it kind of it's like the energy of it as well. Like, it forces you to provide for it.
I think there are very, very good. That's where Dave Ramsey, I clashed with him, because I think there's so many positive forms of debt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying
what's the intention?
I'm not saying credit card debt.
Totally.
Right? Like don't buy things you can't afford.
Or need.
Yeah. Right. But like
whatever.
A vehicle that is maybe going to stretch your means and you really want it and it makes you feel good and you're going to have to work harder to get it, or a house or even like a loan in a business to like where you have to, you know, like, because Megan and I just went through a buyout with our business at the beginning of the year and it's been this incredible catalyst because it's like, okay, we have to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get the luxury of not performing.
Yeah.
I think there's something powerful to that. Well, we have wrapped up. This has been, I told you it was going to be easy and fast.
Are we done already?
Yeah. It's already been over 60 minutes.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
I mean, yeah, no, yes.
Yeah, it
no.
seems like a breeze. No, no way. Okay, but I can't let you leave without answering this question, and that is, how do you define success?
Finding fun and gratitude in everything you do and not carrying shame. No shame.
That's great. Yeah. I like fun and gratitude. Gratitude is so important. Mm-hmm. I mean, anyone
but also so is fun.
Oh, that's one of our core values of our company.
Yeah.
That's like number one is fun, because if you're not having fun, what's the point?
What is the point?
You know?
Yeah.
Life shouldn't be so serious. It can be serious at times, but find the fun in the things that you do.
Yeah. And don't hold shame. No shame.
That's good too. I like that. No one really talks about that.
Oh, it's a big one.
Shame.
We could do another podcast on that, Cody.
Yeah, you probably could.
I really probably could. Yeah,
talk for another 60 minutes on shame. Okay, part two, we'll talk about shame. Okay, so if someone wants to get organic hair product and get their hair cut, what's the best way for them to go about doing that?
They can go on Kea, so Keya salon.com, and find our contact information, book appointments, do whatever. Yeah.
And then what if they want to buy a house or sell a house?
The Kea Salon. That would be probably my Instagram would be the best way to go about it. So Graziano Homes is our Instagram.
And I'll put these links in. Just send me the links that are good.
Okay.
And then I'll put those in the bottom of the show notes. If you're listening to this, you want to buy or sell a home in Southern Utah, or do you do California still?
No, I mean, no. I could refer to California.
Okay.
We have agents all over the country, really, but...
So buy or sell home in Southern California. Go get some incredible organic hair. Megan got her hair cut and dyed by you yesterday, and it looks beautiful. She looks awesome as always. And I know she really loves it. So awesome place to go get your hair cut. Anything else you want to leave the audience with?
No, thanks. Thanks, well, Cody.
Yeah, thank you. You didn't seem nervous at all, by the way.
Oh, well,
you're like a pro.
My palms are so sweaty.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kaylee.
Okay.